Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. My favorite time each week. Please put on your thinking caps. We are going to circle the globe today, conceptually and hopefully functionally. Let's start with this. Let's start with that fateful day that your symptom, the one that took you to the hospital, the doctor, whoever, is relayed back to you as something that's progressive, degenerative, irreversible, and just will manage it, they say. But it's going to get worse, and write your will. And if it's not even that fatal, we all know that feeling that what we've got isn't going away, and looming up there in the sky is that notion that perhaps the illness or the symptom is irreversible, worse yet, terminal, hopeless. It isn't going to go away. Mental illness, physical illness, whatever. We've all broached into that area. And of course, holistic medicine designed itself to give you an option to that. That's why people like holistic medicine. Most people that suffer from symptomology don't turn to holistic practitioners until they've exhausted the classic Western allopathy. And that makes sense because, well, I guess they're more standardized. Generally, they're more trusted. But of course, aspects of this, aspects are in dispute. And one of the drivers on that is when you're told you've got something that's not going to cure, it isn't going to heal. Now, the first qualifier I want to make on that, if you've been told you've got something that isn't going to heal, isn't going to do well, that can only be managed, the first thing I want to say is this. You're talking to people who are sincere. You're talking to people who are absolutely sincere in their statement to you. It's not like they don't want you to heal. It's not like they're lying. It's not like they're hiding the truth and they're bad people. You really got to get into the heads of the people that tell you that what you got ain't going to heal. That what you suffer from symptomatically is just going to progressively degenerate in some unknown period of time, but certainly things are going to go south. And we'll give you the drugs or whatnot to just manage it. You got to get into their head. And to make it succinct, it's simple. When you're a doctor and you've been in a field, nephrology, pulmonology, cardiology, and you've been in that field for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, and you, John Q. Public, go to a good doctor, a doctor of great reputation that does care. That doctor's going to reach not into the literature. That doctor's going to reach into his clinical experience. What has he seen over the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years? And if you look at it this way, you can see the problem. When a doctor that's put 20, 30, 40 good years, it's got thousands of experiences with patients with different types of problems and early stage diseases. And he tells that patient to essentially go home, do nothing, take the drugs. What do you think that doctor's going to see in his patient over 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years? Well, isn't it obvious? If you've got a problem, if you've got the early stages of a degenerative disease and you go home and do nothing about it, well, where do you think you're going to be in 5 years? Now, isn't that right on the tip of our nose? But then you have to ask yourself, if you're in this position, why you would listen to people who are sincerely relying upon a study group, meaning their clinical experience, where people went home and did absolutely nothing. If you've smoked, if you've drank, if you've lived in toxic environments, if you've had tons of toxic emotion, if you don't even know what a liver flush is, and off some occupational hazard, like you're a jet fuel mechanic at LAX or a construction worker, or a genetic tendency, and you've gotten to the point where you've got the early stages of a disease, and you ask your doctor what your prognosis is, that doctor relies upon the hundreds of people he's seen who've just gone back to sitting at a TV and eating McDonald's for dinner. Right there, you have to question prognosis. Those doctors are not going to the literature. Those doctors are not thinking outside the box. Those doctors don't have time. Those doctors are risking their licenses. Those doctors are your friends and are their own miracle as they administer therapies that they know how to do and treat and minimize conditions without which we'd have far more suffering than we do. But to talk to those doctors about prognosis assumes you're going to do nothing. Now, I haven't done 233 shows, nor has the entire gamut of holistic medicine from thousands of years ago to present given itself so that the public can be told you can do nothing. Is it that far to imagine that we might have a whole new prognosis? Is it not far to imagine that we might have an entirely new science? One of the things I love to do the most is go back into the 1800s when scientists, when the best and brightest in the world, came together to understand body functions, systems, physiologies, pathogenesis, evolution of disease. And always, as my example last week, Beauchamp and Pasteur, as always, there are different perceptions of how disease ensues. Pathogenesis, the evolution of disease from an early stage damaged cell to a cell that's gone anaplastic, senescent, or apoptotic. That process has been viewed always from two different angles. How do you go in there and stop and kill the process? And how do you go in there and look at what systems inherent in the human mechanism, the human cell biology, are failing to allow that disease to progress? Always we have had two perceptions of process. So why then is holistic medicine reduced and marginalized to non-scientific? Now, today's show, how bone marrow cells repair damaged organs and what you can do about it. What I love, another thing I love, is when Western pharmaceutical science comes up with a solution that, in essence, evolves from watching natural mechanisms, and they decide they're going to enhance, stimulate, duplicate, intensify those mechanisms. Not a bad idea. Not knocking it. But as we gave the 2012 Nobel Prize to Sir John Gurdon and a Japanese colleague of his, Yanenaka, I can't remember his name exactly. He's been pictured on some of my other shows. The 2012 Nobel Prize in Medicine given to these two guys because of their work with stem cell, pluripotent stem cell therapies, taking your skin, a normal skin cell, and genetically modifying it into a stem cell, that which you can then implant into a diseased organ. And the idea is that once you implant it, this stem cell then will simply start to multiply as the same cell in the damaged organ. That cell goes to a damaged kidney, it becomes a new kidney, it becomes a new heart. That's the idea. And no, we're not taking them from fetuses. That was why these guys and their discovery was so important. It's not fetal stem cells. It's not dead baby tissues. There's no ethical, moral issues. It's your skin. Your own skin, modified, and then injected into damaged organs. And with some result. That's not my point. What I love to do is kick back. I want to go back on that. And point to, overwhelmingly in the literature, where we see the body already doing this. That the body's designed to do this on its own. That already you've been healing for dozens of years because the body is deploying stem cells from the bone marrow and initiating stem cells inherent in the organ itself to repair damaged cells. That one of the ways the body regenerates much needed new flesh, new cells, when it doesn't have enough functional ones in response to injury, even traumatic injury, is by the initiation through an infinitely complicated array of factors. But the body's already got this figured out. And we, as always, are simply tinkering with something on the surface. Really, after 50 years of cancer research, where are we? Where are we? Shouldn't we have taken the best and the brightest 50 years ago as technology mounted and put our energy into looking at the mechanisms that fail inherent in the human body that result in the pathogenesis of the illness? Shouldn't we have done that? No, we didn't do that. We did exactly what we did to stem cells because it's the kill it. It's the kill it Pasteurian notion. Find it, isolate it, do something about it. Instead of looking at the entire mechanism and understanding that our bodies are intricately, divinely. Perhaps that's the problem. Perhaps the problem is when you really look at the intricacy of the human body, you are compelled to see God. And you can't do that and call yourself a scientist. So built into the scientific paradigm as it's evolved is an inherent myopia. It teaches scientists to be narrow-minded, and the public is enraged. You are enraged. And I'm not rabble-rousing, but it is just pathetic. You cannot talk to a doctor any longer and ask that doctor to think outside the box. Now I'm going to spare holistic medicine my constructive critique, which in a nutshell, of course, is that off the back of this default in science comes your average holistic practitioner who is often fantasizing about the results that he offers people. And in nutrition, the worst illustration of this is the notion that herbs cure disease. And this is underneath all the claims, even though the claims aren't stated that way. But I don't want to get into that. So everybody's well-intentioned. Your holistic practitioners are well-intentioned. Your medical doctors are well-intentioned. No one should take it away from any of them. They didn't grow up and say, I want to be a divorce attorney or a contract lawyer. Not that we're knocking that either. You know, we have to be politically correct. But the point is, anyone given to medicine is a giver. Doctors are givers, from brain surgeons to GPs, chiropractors, acupuncturists. These are givers. But that doesn't deny the fact that, if you're asking me, too often we are cloudy and not precise as we apply therapy. All right, let's get to it. Top of the page there. I hope you're on the show, the website. That's straighttalk.cc if you're new to the show. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, trying to bridge that gap between the hard science and the soft science. 233 shows today, how bone marrow cells repair damaged organs and what you can do about it. Now go to the top of the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. and go to Bone Marrow for Organ Repair. Click to view the full article on Bone Marrow for Organ Repair. You got to click it, you got to wait for it to come up, and then you got to take a look at it. And we're talking about the evolution of stem cellology. That in the bone marrow are these cells that the bone marrow normally produces that simply circulate around the body, find the damaged organ, get on into that damaged organ, and participate in the growth of new organ tissue. Question is, what can you do about that? Well, let's go to the second page there. So you saw the introduction, adult bone marrow derived stem cells for organ regeneration and repair. Go to the second page. On the second page, on the left side, just go scroll down to where I put the parentheses. Again, if you're on the road, just listening on radio, just listen. Adult stem cells are vital for continuously renewing tissues, such as the bone marrow and intestine, and play an important role for recovery from injury in tissues like the liver. We can add to that the kidney. We can add to that the lung. We can add to that just about any organ in the body as it's worked out over the last decade of research. Now go to that same page, the middle column. Top of the page, I put, here is science going synthetic. Look at what I put. Here, of course, is my point. My point is, here is science going synthetic. The German pathologist Julius Konheim in 1867. Now think of that. That is 150, 160 years ago. 160 years ago, 1867. A German pathologist. This is what I love. This is what I invite you to explore. When scientists were scientists, when doctors were doctors, when we weren't paralyzed by litigation, insurance idiocy, we had people like little kids playing in the backyard in their own Garden of Eden, studying how the human body worked. Julius Konheim, 1867, first to realize that the bone marrow gives rise to circulating cells, including fibroblasts, engaged in an inflammatory wound healing process. However, the clonogenicity of blood cell lineages, and the concept of stem cell theory were only proven in 1961, Becker. So that you could take these cells and maybe clone them. We weren't thinking that way till the 1960s, 100 years later. Now, it makes sense, right? It's 1867. You're a pathologist. You're studying these cells coming from the bone marrow. And you're saying, you know, these cells run around doing things, repairing organs. So why don't we get those things, clone them, and inject them in? You can see the logic. But here's the point. Why didn't we stop and say, okay, let's hold that. Let's hold that thought and go to picture number 26. It's 1867. Hold the thought. Go to picture 26 on the website, so you got to get off the article. Revitalize your bone marrow. Iron shirt qigong. Look at picture number 28. Picture number 28. That's Mantak Chia talking about bone marrow qigong. Look at picture number 29. You don't have to blow these up. Look at picture 29. That's a Shaolin monk, and what he has in his hand are those little iron rods, some form of metal. And what he's going to do with those is hit himself. Look at picture number 30. Look at picture number 30. Now, those are wooden rods. Picture 29 are iron rods. Now, look at picture number 31. Stem cell qigong. I'm not the only guy thinking this way. But the thing I love to do is get into the science to point out that we're finding the proofs of these things in science everywhere. And yet there are missing factors. I'm going to get into these missing factors today. What we should have done back in 1867, in the ideal of it, is ask ourselves, how can we enhance the proliferation and deposition of stem cells into the target organ? What can we do? Are there mechanisms within, divine mechanisms, if that's okay to say, within, to initiate and enhance and deploy these cells from the bone marrow that science has taught us are pluripotent, that will go into whatever organ they need to and regenerate? What can we do? If you're asking what, you may have missed the point. And I know many of you are asking what, so give me a moment to fall off my seat. In a nutshell, you get healthy. What comprises that is a matter of conjecture. I like to break it down into very basic things. That terrible word, basic. You do want the herb. Take astragalus. It increases the length of the telomere. And of course, that runs tandem to enhancing the stem cell multiplication. Stuff like this, it doesn't work. I don't care what the literature offers you. If you're shoving down a bunch of herbs in the interest of enhancing the production of stem cells, like you're really going to make the difference, please think again. I'm going to offer you a very cogent, I think, very coherent argument as to why these stem cell therapies are continuing to fail us. They're not FDA approved. They're not there at your local hospital, and it's not really the powers that be that don't want this released. Really not the case. When your medical doctor says these therapies are not proven, they're right. They're not proven. They work in animal models, and they work to an extent in human models. But before you line people up and tax the system with a therapy, you have to have very significant track records in the way we've designed things. It's the equivalent of telling people in the holistic model, don't think regenerating damaged organ tissue, the kind that you've been told is irreversibly damaged, is easy. To tell people it's easy is to falsify. But to tell people we have documented cases of people doing all sorts of things, regenerating all sorts of tissues. Well, that's sound. To tell them it happens often is not sound. Now, I propose to you why it doesn't happen often. And the first point was the point we started the show with, that you go to your allopaths, you line up at your hospitals, you go to your supposedly best, and then you're told you can do nothing. And since most people listen, nothing happens. And as we start to fill our chambers with more and more failures, we get more and more confident at telling people you can do nothing. So right there, you have a jaded industry. Let's get back. Let's get back to 1867. We should have looked at what we're talking about here. So let's go back to bone marrow for organ repair. Let's go back to that picture. And let's go back to 1867. That's the second page. The German pathologist was one of the first to realize that the bone marrow gave rise to circulating cells. Now, on that same page, but in the extreme right, halfway down, where I put my other parentheses. Although the repair process might be true in certain models, it is a very rare and slow process, therefore rendering it probably not effective in injuries with rapid pathophysiological kinetics, such as acute myocardial injury. Balsam, 2004. You guys can read these articles on your own later. The full article. But what they're simply saying is, okay, great. Stem cells circulate from the bone marrow. There are adult stem cells latent in organs, and these do activate to heal, except not effective in injuries with rapid pathophysiological kinetics, such as acute MIs. When there's massive damage, these systems are not enough. Of course they're pointing that out. Or else people would have massive heart attacks, and a few weeks later they'd be running around playing golf and tennis again. So something's missing. Go look at the Chinese guy with the iron rods if you want to know what's missing. Do what he does. Ask yourself what Mantak Chia, ask yourself what the lineage that drove Chinese medicine or Vedic medicine or Egyptian medicine were actually doing. Have some respect for the ancient perspectives. You know, one of the parts, and I'm going to get to this in a moment, of stimulating more of this stuff from your bone marrow and stimulating more of the stem cell inherent in the organ is fasting down to get rid of all your body fat. I'm talking about really low numbers. 6, 8, 9% body fat. At some point, to fast down, I said at some point. I said to do under supervision. I said to just don't listen to the show and go decide because you have a disease, you're going to fast. Just pull out of this lecture today what you want to pull out and go do it. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying take the concept of taking out all the visceral fat at some point under supervision, whether it's your allopath or whether it's your holistic practitioner. And understand that a big part of how you get this mobilization to increase itself is by at some point taking your body fat down to low numbers. And I mean low. I don't mean pinch an inch. I mean there's no inch to pinch. Something happens. I can tell you through experience, something very magical happens when you take your body fat down very low. Just read Herbert Sheldon, S-H-E-L-T-O-N, founder of the natural hygiene movement, osteopath from Australia, back in the 20s and 30s, and his discourses on water fasting. Just go back and look at Shelton's work. It's there, and he's doing it for a reason. Ask yourself what those passages in the Bible and those stories of prayer and fasting in the Bible are all about. I don't want to get too esoteric right now. Okay. Cardiac stem cells. Click to view the full article on cardiac stem cells. Just to show you what's in the literature, that first page there, look down at that asterisk on the bottom of the first page, right? You clipped cardiac stem cells, that's the article. Bottom of the first page, it is now recognized. They put an asterisk there. It is now recognized that now you're on the second page, both extracardiac, bone marrow, and intracardiac progenitor cells are mobilized and home to the site. That means they go to the site of myocardial injury. Now, just cross out myocardial. They go to the site of the liver injury, the kidney injury, the spleen injury. They go to the site of the brain injury, of the spinal cord injury. They're going everywhere. Extracardiac and intracardiac progenitor cells, that's the ones latent in the organ. There is also evidence that such cells participate in the maturation and induction of collateral vascular growth and neovascular genesis. That means growing capillary supply to the organs as they increase their need for food, oxygen, and may acquire phenotypic properties of neighboring cardiac cells. However, these natural self-renewing processes, I'll repeat that, however, these natural self-renewing processes, while sufficient to sustain normal homeostasis, that means this is going on all the time, are insufficient to salvage heart muscle following massive injury. That's why we're doing stem cell injections. The point is, if we looked back, if we really get to the essence, the roots of holistic traditions, what holistic traditions? You see, this is where it's tricky. What holistic traditions? I'm talking about the real ones. And I make an attempt to offer you some semblance of the real ones when I show you Chinese guys at temples hitting themselves with iron rods. Because we're not doing that in America. I don't mean hitting ourselves with rods. We're really not getting the public engaged in true holistic therapies. And that's a complicated topic, and nobody gets a finger pointed at them. But nonetheless, we're not doing it. And so what will we do then? We'll derive false conclusions. We'll say, you're right. The natural mechanisms can't cut it, and the holistic medicines make no difference. So we better depend on injecting stem cells, even though we haven't gotten there yet. But someday we will. And let's ask the NIH for another $10 billion. And I'm cutting in to ask you to understand your version, the prevalent notion of holistic medicine is not applying core therapy. Again, pointing the finger at no one, and I sincerely mean that. I'm not trying to be politically correct. I am not a politically correct person. I wasn't born one, and I will die a non-politically correct. I think it's death. Political correctness means you have to censor everything you say in case your neighbor might not think well of you when you're done saying it. I don't want a friend like that. I don't want a politician like that. I don't want a doctor like that. Now, there's a lot of room for diplomacy when you have to talk frankly, and you shouldn't be rude. But at the same time, political correctness, holistic medicine, for whatever reason, it's not getting people. It's not telling them, look, if you don't do this, it ain't going to work. Because that means you got to change your lifestyle. And that, admittedly, is tough when we're surrounded by all sorts of subliminal compulsions to destroy a healthy lifestyle. So let's leave that alone. Okay, now there's proof we've got cardiac cells in the game. Now look at this. Go to the third article, bone marrow cells heal the kidney. Look at that one. We don't need to get into it, but look at this one. Bone marrow cells contribute to regeneration of damaged glomerular endothelial cells. The endothelial cells are the tiny little microarteries, the capillaries, that get damaged, that destroy the normal filtration through the kidney. And there we have it. Bone marrow cells charging in to try to repair that. Look at my last one. Macrophages dissolve scar tissue. Don't get into that one yet, because that's my punchline. All right, so what do we know? What do we know? We know that we have these stem cells derived from the bone marrow running to target organs. Now, enter picture number 5. Go to picture number 5, the extracellular matrix and ground regulation. Certainly, some of you will notice this book. I've had it on the show about 3 or 4 times. Maybe 5 times in the last 5 years. Basis for a holistic biological medicine, Pfinger. Boy, do I maul these European names from the French to the German. I apologize. Not my forte. Didn't do well in language. All right. Pfinger. The extracellular matrix and ground regulation. Basis for a holistic biological. This is a guy credentialed in Germany trying to say to people, go into the space between the cells. Go to picture 10, the extracellular matrix, the area between the cells, picture 10. You got all sorts of interesting little proteins in there. Fibronectin, collagen, proteoglycan molecules, complex with other things. This is the area between the cells, the ECM. What Pippinger was saying is the place between the cells is really where the holistic model lives. Translated, you want to see the holistic magic happen, like you want to get better from irreversible disease, get into that space and do something about the electrical conduction in between the cells. Go to picture 10. Excuse me, go to picture 11 now. Components of the extra, blow that up a little bit if you can. Components of the ECM. The cells there secrete glycoproteins, proteoglycans, fibronectins, cross-linked fibers of collagen. Those cells are modeling and remodeling the ECM so it can conduct electricity. I mean, that's where we go with this. That you can remodel this space. That you just might not be able to inject stem cells in there and expect to see the magic without remodeling the space between the cells. This is where John Gurdon and the rest of them, they've left this part out. And as long as they leave this part out, let them know they're not going to get anywhere. They are meddling with an infinitely complex system. And if you take mice that are birthed, that you give a few weeks to mature, and you do these therapies on mice and rats and animals, you're going to get better outcomes than people. One, they're not as big. Two, they're not as messed up. They don't have ego constraint. They don't have neurosis. They don't have anxiety. I mean, for the most part. The reason we say animal models don't do the same things as human models, one big reason is animals retain certain instincts that are very akin to what it takes to heal that humans divorce themselves from. They're bigger, and in a sense, they're more screwed up. And we have to go to the animal model because they're little, they're cheap, they're easy to breed, and if we mess them up, well, somehow we're forgiven. So science goes to the animal models. And then it points out, but we're not going to jump the gun even after we publish, because if we jump to human models, well, we don't have the track record, and we have something, fortunately, called the FDA that's going to prevent nonsense. And I do mean that sincerely. Fortunately, we have the FDA, or it would be the Wild West, allopathically and holistically. So, be careful with animals. But ask yourself, why animals? Why does it work so often in animals and not in humans? And generally, not the reverse. Generally, if it works in animals, it may not work in humans. But generally, if it works in humans, it works in animals. Human to animal, yes. Animal to human, often we got a yellow light. Maybe, maybe not. Why? Humans are screwed up. The autonomic nervous systems of humans, due to the ego, false ego. Unless, of course, you torture the animal. But generally, animals in labs are treated okay. I mean, we may not name them. We may not give them love, but a lot of people do. A lot of scientists and biologists have relationship with the animals they work with. I can tell you this for a fact, the better ones do. I can tell you this, biologists, people doing cell biology generally, they don't torture their animals. You want to know why? Well, number one, they're human too. But number two, if you're in a lab working with animals, there's a point where you realize that you're going to skew your results if your animal's all anxiety-ridden. Whether this is conscious or subconscious, it depends on the practitioner. But biologists, molecular biologists, biochemists that work in animal models understand this on some level. So what we've got here with Pippinger is basically the ECM does something right or does something wrong. Now, what does it do wrong? You really got to relax behind this show. A lot of concepts here. As I said, we're spinning the globe. Go to picture 25. There's a perfect cell, picture 25. Now go on down, or up, I should say, to picture 23. Now there's a cell that's been attacked by free radicals. Its membrane's been damaged. Eventually, its DNA is going to be damaged. There's your cell before you get the symptom or the disease. When your cell goes from that healthy cell to that damaged cell, look at picture 24. Picture 24. On the right side is a healthy cell membrane. Looks like an ice cream sandwich. On the left side is a damaged cell membrane. And of course, that's there so you can buy a supplement and straighten it out. I apologize in a way for that, that myopia. But that is the idea. There's that damaged membrane. Once the membrane's damaged, once the cell's damaged, at some point, your body is going to signal the production of a ton of a substance called fibrin. Now, you probably knew I was going to say that before I said it. Go to picture 12. Picture 12. That gooey stuff there in between your red blood cells, but in between any cell of any organ before it's degenerated. Generally, you've got the production of tons of this goo. Look at all that goo. Now, go back to picture number 10. The area between the cells is now filled with all that goo. All that goo. Guess what we call that? Scarring. And eventually, the amount of scarring due to the amount of oxidative damage will turn the cell and the space between the cells into muck. And the cells will displace. They will deform. They will become useless. They may just rot out and die. They may just blend into the filthy swamp that was once the area between the cells. Understand this. Sooner or later, the claim I'm going to make will be fully vindicated. If you do not remodel the space between the cells, you can inject stem cells in there all you want, at whatever number and frequency you want, and you will limit very early on the regeneration of new tissue. You've got to remodel the extracellular space. And that really is, like Piffinger is saying, the basis for a holistic theory. Therapy. There's something called a macrophage floating around in there. When the macrophage, the immune system cell, sees all the destruction in between the cells, it begins to initiate in a complicated series of reactions that which will ultimately produce a lot of fibrin, and that's the scarring. That blocks what? It blocks your own body's natural stem cell mechanisms. Your body cannot enhance its own stem cell mechanisms in the presence of that much scarring. That is abundant in the literature. And what we've decided to do is forego this issue of scarring and simply inject in what topically at least makes common sense. We want to clone the stem cells and inject billions more in there as if it's just going to bully its way through all this scarred up swamp. And that is why we're not succeeding at it. That Gurdon and his colleague can produce pluripotent stem cells from normal skin cells and avoid this ethical issue of doing it with omnipotent fetal cells is worth a Nobel Prize. Definitely that was a miracle in a sense. They ought to be injecting them into people who have cleaned out that matrix. That is where the research should be going. But that's essentially what Pissinger is saying. He's saying that if you understand the ECM, that space between the cells, as really where all of holistic medicine has always designed itself to work, well, now you understand what holistic medicine is up to and has been up to. And will forever be up to, whether it understands it or not. I just got word here we're having a little technical issue. The show's going in and out in certain places. We're aware of that. K-Bright's aware of that also. So just bear with us. I don't think the show's going to go out. All right. Now, fibrin. You got to get rid of the fibrin. So there's picture 13. Fibrinolysis. There's fibrinolysis. There's the breakdown of fibrin. There's the word. The fibrinolytic system, 14. Body knows how to break up that space. Look at picture 15. Role of fibrin in tumor metastasis. That link between the deposition of fibrin into the ECM. That issue of fibrin into the ECM is really behind all disease. We talk about repair of someone's heart cell after a heart attack. You can talk about a tumor. Either way. So, that space in between the cells, you got to break the fibrin up. Thus, along the way, picture 17. Those are protease. They're protein enzymes. Those enzymes from the pancreas dissolve fibrin. They're fibrinolytic. Look at picture 18. Neprenol, advanced fibrin defense. Look at the claims. Normal, enhanced blood cleansing, normalizing blood viscosity. It takes out the fibrin. The one thing science cannot deny, 17 and 18, is that they are fibrinolytic. That is hard science behind those claims. Nattokinase is fibrinolytic. Serratiopeptidase is fibrinolytic. Protease is fibrinolytic. Bromelain, papain are fibrinolytic. Oh, okay. So I'm going to take these things because it'll heal me. No, you don't think that way. I beg of you not to think that way. I beg of you to get educated to understand the role in the totality of healing that fibrinolytic herbs play. Do you see the difference? Make me happy. Get onto the website, comment on the show. Get happy. And basically, get on the comment and tell me you get the distinction. Use the herb in the context of the larger understanding. That is where you will get the return. Don't extrapolate out of something that you have no understanding of. It's like investing blindly in the stock market. So you're using your fibrinolytic herbs to break down the fibrin in response to free radical damage. You're fasting down your body to get rid of the visceral fat. Go down to picture 42. Look at picture 42. All that fat around the organs, get rid of that fat like the guy did from left all the way to right. Yes, that means weight loss. But hear me on this. Picture 35. Look at picture 35. That's a guy that's done extensive fasting down to about 6% body fat. When you get down that low, as the radical fasters, the water fasters, the fasters from Shelton, and Sheldon talked about the difference between juice fasting and water fasting. Understand that when you get that much visceral fat out of your body, you start cleaning your marrow. The marrow begins to clean. Understand picture 36. That when you begin to pull the tendons open, as in picture 36. Understand that we actually have a qigong. Look at picture 27. Tendon qigong. Qigong, tai chi, kung fu, yoga will go after the tendon. It'll go after the bone marrow. When you pull the tendons open to get flexible, and you open up the abdominal cavity, like picture 36, opening the abdominal cavity, you will break down the fibrin that you've conditioned through the cleanses. Do you see it? Can you get that? If you get that, be happy. You're getting it. The guy in picture 36 is pulling the fibrin apart after he's conditioned it through fasting and the cleanses. Go to picture 37. Look at picture 37. That's the bile. Do you see bile? Do you see bile in that toilet? Have you gotten to the point where the bile flows? And bile is only one of the excretions. Bile is only one of the precipitates. There are many types of precipitates. How about the kidney? How about uric acid? How about the uric acid? How about the calcium oxalate? How about the calcium phosphate? How about all of that getting stuck all over the body, not just the kidney? So if we take you down to picture 38, have you seen those stones come out? Have you seen the sand come out? Have you cleansed the mucus off the walls of the colon? Look at picture 40. It's not that you have to get all that goop, like all that stuff is stuck there. Thank God you got it out with that colon cleanse. No. That's feces mixed with the herbs, mixed with the mucus off the bowel wall. Have you scraped the bowel wall sufficiently, consistently, to the point where the bowel wall has been pruned? How do you grow your bushes? You prune them. How do you keep your rose garden plush? You prune it. You have to sweep the surface of it. Sweep the surface of the cells in the bile duct. Sweep the surface of the tubule in the kidney. Sweep the lung. If you gently sweep, you proliferate. Think about that. Pruning your roses. You're sweeping them, cutting them gently. You're not pulling the root system out. You're pruning them, which means scrape them and let them proliferate. Scrape and proliferate. This is what your cleanses and detoxes are. Scrape so you can proliferate. Before you're going to get to the extracellular matrix, you've got to get these excretory routes open. There is no substitute for this. So you see, there's a sequencing to this, and that sequencing is specific from person to person to person. That is the art of medicine. If you're paying somebody, they need to be doing this and not throwing things at you blindly in a non-specific way. There is no cookie-cutter path. And this is why I do the show, because anybody can go online, get a cleanse, and do it. And it's not that that's not a bad thing. Don't be disappointed if you don't get the results. There's an art form here, and this is what I mean now, where the holistic model is not delivered to you in its superior strength. Have you cleaned the poop out? Have you cleaned the bile out? Have you cleaned the kidney out? Have you flushed the lymph with banya, the lymphatic system? When we say extracellular space, if you go down to picture 43, when we say extracellular space, we mean the lymph. That woman, picture 43, if those nodes, including the spleen and the bone marrow, if they don't perfuse, if they don't move their fluids, if they get stuck, meaning if you don't sweat, if you don't move, then you don't clean the ECM. So this impregnable swamp that the stem cell is trying to deliver itself to, it can't. It's that simple. Now, you can forego everything I've said. Take out your stem cell, your progenitor cells, clone them, and inject them back in, and you're still going nowhere. You'll get to second base, but you will fail to sustain regeneration. You cannot get around cleaning out the ECM. And that's the good news, because that's what you can do about it. You want your mechanisms, the inherent in your system, to function optimally. Lest you decide that you can do nothing, lest you decide that God did not put divine mechanisms in, that science is constantly watching and then concluding because it does nothing. It offers you no alternative. And then in a circular form of logic, concludes what it assumes as people go home and do nothing. Lest you do that, understand all these mechanisms need to be in place. And that's where you see these occasional miracles that are in the literature that are true. Now that's a lot. That's a lot. That is a lot of information. And that is a lot of synthesis. So go back and hear the show again. Go to the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're inordinately confused and lost in your own process, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I invite you to join me, if you have the right attitude, in a process to regenerate you. That is the real way. That's the certain way. That's God's way. And that's what holistic medicine is. You guys have a nice week. We'll see you later.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.